there in Matthew chapter number 16. And like we talked about already, we've been going through a series on Sunday mornings on the subject of becoming a follower of Christ. We've been focusing in on these words that Jesus would speak, follow me. And this is now the fourth sermon in this series as we've been learning about what it means. When Jesus would tell people to follow me, as we study those texts, we're able to see what he meant by that and what he expected them to do and why so often people were disqualified and not able to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And we got to understand this idea that being saved and being a disciple are two different things. Simply believing on Jesus Christ will make you saved. Simply believing on Jesus Christ and accepting the gift of salvation will ensure you a home in heaven. But being a follower of Christ is a change in lifestyle. It's a change in direction. It's a change in leadership. It's now allowing Christ to lead. It's now allowing Christ to become the one who leads us. And in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, I'd like you to notice that at this time in the ministry of Christ, Jesus really began to deal with his disciples about a specific subject of the sacrifice that he would have to give. Look at verse 21. The Bible says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders of the chief priests and scribes." And notice this, "and be killed and be raised again the third day." So Jesus, at this point, begins to explain to the disciples, "Listen, guys, I don't know if you're ready for this, but I need you to understand, I'm going to go down to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer many things, they're going to kill me, they're going to put me to death, and I want you to understand that I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again the third day." He's preparing his disciples for this. And you got to understand, keep your finger there in Matthew 16, this is our text for this morning, but go over to John chapter number 10, just real quickly. If you're there in Matthew, you just go past the book of Mark, past the book of Luke, and into the book of John. John chapter number 10, while I drink this really fancy water, Fiji, they got me water today. I was joking with Brother Vincent. I said, "Did you guys just get a bottle out of the recycling bin and put, you know, tap water in?" He said, "No, that's actual Fiji water." I said, "Wow, I feel special." Yeah, special is a good word. Tastes the same, but it's, you know, it's like five times more expensive, but that's good. This a message was brought to you by Fiji. They're our sponsor. So no. John chapter 10, look at verse 14 there. Says, "I am the good shepherd." This is Jesus speaking. "I know my sheep and I'm known of mine." Verse 15. "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father." Now I want you to notice what Jesus says. "I lay down my life for the sheep." You got to understand, Jesus came to this earth to die. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. They did not take his life. They did not kill him. It was not an accidental death. You know, there are some religions out there that teach that Jesus came to be the Messiah. And he did come to be the Messiah, but he came to reign and to take that leadership role of becoming the king. But they misunderstood his message and they killed him and they weren't supposed to, and it was a mistake. It was not a mistake that Jesus died. They did not kill him. The Bible says he laid down. He said, "I laid down my life for the sheep." He could have at any time stopped them. He could have at any time called the angels down and defended himself, but he allowed himself to be put to death. That's what the plan was from the beginning. Look at verse 16. "Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Verse 15. "Therefore doth my Father love me," notice, "because I lay down my life that I might take it again." Verse 18. "No man taketh it from me." He said, "Look, no one's taken my life." He says, "but I lay it down of myself." He says, "I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." So I want you to understand this, if you make your way back to Matthew 16, that Jesus understood exactly what he was doing. He understood exactly what was going on. He understood exactly that he was going to be put to death, that he was going to die. He was doing it of his own will. And Jesus is explaining this to the disciples. Jesus is telling them, "I have to suffer. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to go through a lot of heartache and a lot of things that I need you to be ready for. I need you to understand." Now, in Matthew 16 and verse 22, I want you to notice the reaction to Jesus' news. In Matthew 16 and verse 22, the Bible says this, "Then Peter took him." I like Peter. Peter's a good guy. But he'd often say the wrong thing, you know? "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him." Rebuke is like you're telling him, "No, you're wrong. That's not going to happen." I think Scripture is interesting sometimes. I think God, the way the script God writes the Bible, it helps us to kind of see how silly we are as humans. Because notice, the Bible says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be far from thee, Lord. The question I have, okay, if he's Lord, which means he's your boss, then why are you rebuking him? You see what I'm saying? He says, I'm going to rebuke you, Lord. It's like, well, if he's Lord, why are you telling him he's wrong? You know, and it's just kind of a silly thing there. But he began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Look at verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter. Now notice, so now what Peter is doing here almost seems good. Almost seems right. It almost seems selfless. Because Peter, Jesus is telling the disciples, hey, I'm going to be put to death. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to suffer many things. And Peter said, oh, no. We're not going to let that happen to you. No, be it far from thee. No, we don't want you to be hurt. And it almost seems selfless. But notice what Jesus says about Peter's response, verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest. I want you to notice that word savorest. The word savor is, the idea is like you're savoring food, like you're eating food and you're enjoying it. The word savors means to appreciate, to enjoy, to take pleasure in. Now notice what Jesus says to Peter when Peter says, no, you cannot sacrifice your life. You cannot be put to death. You cannot lay down your own life. You cannot do that. You must, you know, protect yourself and you must, you know, make sure that nothing happens to you. Notice Jesus says, hey, Peter, hey, Satan, get thee behind me. He says, for thou savorest not. He said, you do not appreciate. You do not enjoy. You do not take pleasure in the things that be of God, but the things, he said, but those that be of men. He said, well, what is he talking about? See, when Peter says to Jesus, I don't want you to lay down your life. When Peter says to Jesus, I don't want you to take up the cross. When Peter says to Jesus, I don't want you to sacrifice yourself. What is being revealed in Peter is something that is in all of us. And it is a spirit of Satan. I didn't say that Peter was possessed with Satan, but it's a spirit that comes from Satan. And it is a spirit of self. Because Peter does not want Jesus to sacrifice himself. It reveals the way of thinking of Peter. That no one should have to sacrifice themselves. That no one should have to suffer. That no one should have to be hurt. That no one should have to do something that they're uncomfortable with. And it brought to light our natural bent and the natural bent in Peter, which is a bent towards self-centeredness and selfishness and self-preservation. And really it's something that's in all of us, which is self-love. Because see, Peter couldn't even fathom that someone would choose to die. That someone would choose to be sacrificed, that someone would choose to lay down their own life. And that went so against the grain for Peter. It was so anti his natural. He said, I can't let you do this, Jesus. I can't let you do this, Lord. You cannot deny. You cannot take up your cross. You cannot sacrifice yourself. It revealed a spirit of self in Peter. And honestly, it's a spirit that is in all of us. We have a culture of self. We have a culture of self-love. I mean, the American culture is a selfish and a self-centered culture. Think about what you learned about America. And I'm not downing America. I'm thankful I'm an American. I'm thankful we live in the United States of America. But think about what you were learning about history. What's the American dream? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of what? Happiness. What are the mantras of American culture? If it feels good, do it. Whatever makes you happy. Follow your heart. You don't have to turn there. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But today we are told, no. Just whatever makes you happy. It doesn't matter if it's right. Doesn't matter if it's wrong. Doesn't matter if it makes God happy. If it makes you happy, you do it. If it feels good, do it. As long as you're happy. As long as you're satisfied. As long as you are fulfilled. That's the American culture. And that culture has been brought in into the Christian culture. The Christian American culture is a culture of selfishness and self-centeredness. It is a culture of self. Today, the American culture of Christianity teaches that we as Christians, we can live like everyone else. We can act like everyone else. We can dress like everyone else. We can have houses as nice as anybody else's, and cars as nice as anybody else's, and clothes as nice as anybody else's, and everything that this world has to offer. Listen to me. I'm not against nice houses. I'm not against nice clothes. I'm not against nice cars. But you need to understand, today, the Christian American culture teaches that I can have everything this world has to offer, and I can put on my flip-flops and grab my Starbucks and go to church once every 3 weeks, and I am a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ. And Jesus would look at that type of Christianity and say, I don't know what Jesus you're following, but that's not the Jesus of the Bible. See, our American Christian culture is, we don't have to sacrifice. We don't have to suffer. I can enjoy the world. I can enjoy this life. I can enjoy everything about this life. I can savor the things of man. As long as I show up to church once a month, I'm good to go. As long as I show up to church every, you know, Easter and Christmas, and maybe on Mother's Day if I'm guilted into it, Jesus will be happy. See, the truth is we live in a very self-love, self-centered, self-absorbed society. Think about it. It's revealed in the way you feel. It's revealed in your characteristics. You say, I have an issue with pride, or I know someone that has an issue with pride. You say, what's pride? Being arrogant, thinking highly of yourself. What is that? It's being self-absorbed. You say, I have an issue with fear. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. What is fear if not self-preservation? You say, I was offended by what you said, or I was offended by something that happened to me, and I was insulted and resentful, and I'm annoyed. What is that? Self-centeredness. I'm covetous. I'm greedy. I'm materialistic. I want nice things. What is that? Selfishness. You're critical. You say, I'm critical. I'm judgmental. I judge people. I'm always criticizing people in my mind. What is that? Self-righteousness. See, if you really were truthful with yourself, you would have to admit, and I would have to admit, that we live in a very self-love society. And we've been raised to love self and to preserve self and to absorb self and to be selfish. You say, well, what does that have to do with being a follower of Christ? Well, here's what you need to understand. If you look at Matthew 16 and verse 24, Jesus taught this. He said, then said Jesus unto his disciples. Because remember, Peter just revealed a spirit about him and every human being that ever lived. This spirit of preserving self, protecting self, loving self, savoring the things, not of God, but of man. And in verse 24, the Bible says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me. Now, what he's saying is, if you want to follow me, if you want to come after me, if you want me to lead and you're going to come after me and follow me, he says, if any man will come after me, notice what he says, let him deny him what? Self. See, in order to be a follower of Christ, you must say no to the one thing you never say no to, which is self. See, in order to be a follower of Christ, we must deny self. He says, if you will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. You're there in Matthew. Keep your finger in Matthew. We're going to come back to it. That's the text. If you go past Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, you'll find 2 Corinthians. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'd like you to notice verse number 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. This is a very interesting verse. If you're having trouble finding it, just pick up your bulletin. It's the verse in the bulletin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15 says this, and that he, now the he there is referring to Jesus, and that he died for all, that they which live should, now focus in on this phrase, that they which live. So he died that we might live, right? That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth. The word henceforth means from now on. Once you got life through Christ, once you were born again through Jesus Christ, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. But when you received the gift of eternal life, you were quickened. You were made a new man. You were resurrected. You were given life, the Bible says. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth, can we read the next three words together? Live unto themselves. Isn't that a powerful phrase? He says he died that we would not live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for them that rose again. See, when you're a follower of Christ, life is not about you anymore. When you are a follower, it means you're not leading. When you are a follower, it means you're not giving the commandments. It means you're not giving, you're not calling the shots. It means you're not telling yourself what you're going to do and where you're going to go. When you are a follower, it means all of a sudden everything becomes about Jesus and not about you. See, the Bible says that we should henceforth live not henceforth live unto themselves. And the question is this, and the question I want to ask you this morning, and I don't answer it out loud, but think of it in your own mind, in your own heart, and be truthful for once with yourself. The question is this, who are you living for? Who are you living for? Are you living for self? Are you living for Jesus? Are you living for your own rights and your own needs? If you go back to Matthew 16 and look at verse 24, I'd like you to notice what it is that Jesus expects them to do. Because notice he says, let him deny himself. And he said, you got to deny yourself to be a follower of Christ. But notice, in those phrases, there's a very important part to that. You say, well, how do I deny self? And notice what he says, Matthew 16 and verse 24. The Bible says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And I want you to notice this phrase, and take up his cross and follow me. See, remember when we started the text this morning, Jesus said to the disciples, I'm going to take my cross and I'm going to sacrifice myself and I'm going to die and I'm going to lay down my life, and that's how it's going to go, guys. I need you to understand that. And the spirit of self and the spirit of self-preservation and the spirit of self, indulgence came upon Peter, and he said, No, Jesus. Don't you know? The pursuit of happiness, that's what it's all about. We want you to be happy. You can be happy. We can be happy. We never have to suffer. We never have to do anything. We never have to die. You don't have to take your cross, Jesus. And Jesus turns it around and says, Peter, not only do I have a cross to bear, but Jesus says to Peter, you have a cross to bear. He says, Peter, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny self and take up your cross. See, at this moment, Jesus calls Peter and says to Peter and to the disciples, you're going to have to die. You're going to have to die. Say, what are you talking about? Go to Galatians chapter 5. If you were there in 2 Corinthians, right after 2 Corinthians, you got the book of Galatians. Say, Pastor Mendes, are you advocating human sacrifice? That's not what we're talking about at all. But see, if you are going to be a follower of Christ, now listen to me, you don't have to be a follower of Christ. You can put on your flip-flops, grab your Starbucks, show up every 3 weeks, and if that makes you feel good, that's fine. You don't have to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, be saved, and call it good, if that's what you want. Now, there's repercussions for that. There's rewards that'll be missed out. There's regret that'll happen. There'll be a lot of sin probably in your life, because as we continue to live this life that indulges in self, it causes problems in our lives. Every problem you have in your marriage and every problem that I have in my marriage or in my work or in my raising children or in my relationships, every problem that we have probably goes back to the idea of self. Remember Satan? What was his problem? You read the account in Isaiah when he fell. He said, I. Seven times he said, I will be exalted. I will be like the Most. What was his problem? It was all about self. And Jesus says, and the Bible teaches, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you're going to have to die. You say, well, who do we die to? Are you there in Galatians chapter 5? Look at verse 24. Number one, if you're taking notes, these are just real quick points here. Number one, you're going to have to die to self. Galatians 5, look at verse 24, the Bible says, and they that are Christ, meaning they belong to Christ, maybe meaning they are a possession of Christ, meaning Christ is the boss and they are the servant, they are the followers of Christ. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh. You say, well, what does that mean? Do I have to take a cross and put myself on it? No, listen. Have crucified the flesh. How do you crucify the flesh? Notice, with the affections and lusts. See, an affection is something you like. A lust is something you desire. And if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to get to the place where you can crucify your flesh. And what that means is, it's not about what you want. It's not about your affections, not about your lust, not about your desire, not about the things you want in your life. But you say, you know what? My affections, my desires, my lust, the things that I want, I'm going to put those things on the cross. I'm going to put that flesh to death. I'm going to die to self. You say, well, what does it mean to take up your cross? It means, number one, to die to yourself. Keep your finger there in Galatians chapter 5, but go with me to Romans chapter 6. We're going to come right back to Galatians, so keep your finger there. Go to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter 6, and look at verse number 6. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 6. Romans chapter 6, you can go back from Galatians, you go past 2 Corinthians, past 1 Corinthians, into the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6, and look at verse number 6. Romans 6, 6, the Bible says this, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. See, what does it mean to take up your cross? It means to die to self, but you know what? It means to die to sin. It means to die to that sin that so easily besets us. And that sin that you've been struggling with, and I've been struggling with for so long, and we just haven't got rid of it. We haven't got away from it. It calls us to take that sin and put it on that cross and put it to death. Can you get back to Galatians chapter 6? Look at verse 14. You say, what does it mean to take up your cross? It means to die to self. What does it mean to take up your cross? It means to die to sin. What does it mean to take up your cross? It means to die to society. It means to die to society. You say, what are you talking about? Look at Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross. You know what Paul is saying? Paul's saying, I have nothing to show off about. He said, I have nothing to glory about. He said, I don't have any clothes to show off about. I don't have any vehicles to show off about. I don't have a house. I don't have an account. I don't have a boat. I don't have an RV. There is nothing that I have that I can glory in. Notice, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now don't miss this. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You know what he just said? He said, when I became a follower of Jesus Christ, I took the world and its possessions and everything that it has, and I put it on the cross, and the world died to me, and I died to the world. You understand what he's saying? He just said, there's nothing in this world I desire. There's nothing in this world that I want. There's nothing in this world that gets my attention. There's nothing in this world that I think about and say, it'd be nice to have that, and it'd be nice to have this, and it'd be nice to go there, and it'd be nice to have this vacation, it'd be nice to have this much income, it'd be nice to live in that side. He said, there's nothing in this world that I want. He said, there's nothing in this world that I glory about. He said, save in the cross. Because, see, Paul understood something, that if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to die to self and to sin. And to society. Now, please understand me. There's nothing wrong with having good things. Nothing wrong with having nice things. If you have a boat, I'm not against you. You ought to invite me out. If you have an RV, that's great. You have a nice house, you know, whatever. It's great. I'm not against you having nice things. But the American Christian culture finds its fulfillment in fulfilling self. Finds its fulfillment in the desires and the appetites of the flesh. And the Bible teaches that if you're going to follow Christ, you're going to have to put those things to death. See, it's not about you. Do you think that, and I'm not trying to pick on you, but let me just bring it real close to home. If Jesus was alive today, do you think that he would be out buying designer clothes? I'm not against if you're wearing designer clothes. I could be wearing designer clothes, and I have no idea. I'm not against that, but I'm saying, you think that he would be out buying designer clothes? Or you think he'd just probably just go to the thrift store and just pick something up for cheap and say, I don't really care. My life's not about clothes. Do you understand what I'm saying? You think that if Jesus was alive today, he said, well, I can't show up for soul winning on Saturday because you don't understand. That's the day that I go fishing. You ought to go fishing for men. You think that if Jesus would say, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, you guys are asking for a lot. I mean, you want me to show up on a Wednesday night, or you want me to show up on a Sunday night, or you want me to give up this, or you want me to... You think that Jesus would care about those things? You think that Paul would care about those things? Or you think that Paul would say, you know what? Those things are dead to me. The world is dead to me. There's nothing this world has. There's nothing this world has that I desire. Paul would be able to say, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. But see, the problem with the American Christian culture is we're very at home in this world. And this world is very comfortable. And this world is very nice. And as long as it's all about me and all about self, you cannot be a follower of Jesus. You're there in Galatians chapter 6. Can you go to Galatians chapter 2? This is a very well-known passage. Galatians chapter 2, look at verse 20. Notice what Paul said. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says this, I am crucified with Christ. Paul says, I put myself to death. He said, I put my life to death. He said, I put my flesh to death. He said, I put this world to death. He said, I've died to self, and I've died to Satan, and I've died to society. I've died to the things of this world. He said, I am crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live. He said, I'm not dead. He said, I didn't kill myself. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, that's the goal of the follower of Christ. That Christ would live in you. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, the goal of the Christian life is that Jesus would be represented in you. That your life would not be your own. And you got to understand this. This is not, you don't do this one time. I won't take you to the passages, but Paul said, I die daily. I won't take you to the passages, but even Jesus would say, you know, deny yourself, take up your cross daily. See, every day you and I must wake up, and every day we must get on our knees and humble ourselves before an almighty God and say, God, this life is not about me. I'm not here to serve me. I'm not here to promote me. I'm not here to make me rich or make me happy. I'm here to bring glory to you. Every day we have to put self to death. And here's what we do as Christians. We'll say, oh, yeah, I'm cool with this, and I'm cool with that, and I'm cool with this. But as soon as we have to make a sacrifice, as soon as it costs us something, as soon as it's not comfortable, that's when it's revealed if we're living for self or if Christ is living in us. So the question for you this morning is this: who are you living for? Or who's living your life? Because, see, when you get up tomorrow morning and you go to work and your boss says something rude to you, says something mean to you, and accuses you of something you didn't do, who's going to respond, you or Christ? See, when you're at home and your husband's rude to you or your wife is mean to you or you get in a fight, who's going to respond, you or Christ? When your kids are annoying you and bothering you and they're just being kids, but you're frustrated because you got all these other problems in your life and you want to take it out on them, who's going to respond, you or Christ? When you're tempted to cheat, when you're tempted to lie, when you're tempted to steal, when you're tempted to show up late for work because the boss said he wasn't going to be there and he would never notice, who's going to show up, you or Christ? Because, see, a follower of Christ has Christ living in him. And the only way that you and I can follow Christ is to deny self. Can you get back to Matthew 16? I'd like you to notice verse 24. We're almost done. Very, very short sermon. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, it's very interesting what he says in verse 25. He says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. See, you got to understand this. There is no fulfillment in the self life. You know that nobody gets to the end of their life? You know that there's no one on their deathbed, you know, dying? No one in a hospital room somewhere who knows they're going to die in a very short amount of time? There's no one who sits up and says, you know what? The one regret I have in life is that I wasn't just a little more selfish. Yeah, no one says that. You know that no one gets to the end of life and says, I just wish I would have been a little more self-centered. I just wish my life would have been a little more about me. I just wish that I would have been a little more self-absorbed or self-conscious. No one gets to the end of their life and says that. You know what they do say? I wish I wouldn't have spent so much time out fishing or golfing or at the bar. Wish I would have spent more time with my wife or my husband or my kids. You know, people get to the end of life and say, I wish I would have served Christ. I went to this church, man, they preached the Bible like, I'd never been to a church that preached the Bible like that. And they taught me what God wanted me to do. And I could have gone to church 3 times a week and got the Bible. I just wish I would have served Christ. See, no one gets to the end of their lives and says, I wish I would have served my... Nobody says, I wish I would have worked way more overtime. I mean, if I could go back, the one thing I regret, if I could have just put in more overtime at work. No one says that. No one says that. But many people who live that way get to the end of their lives and say, I wish I wouldn't have been so selfish or so self-absorbed or so self-conscious. And you know what they're saying? Here's what they're saying. I wish I would have said no to self. I wish I would have denied self. Because self is my problem. And by the way, self is your problem. So I just want to give you this question. I want you to wrestle with it for the next several days. Who are you living for? Who calls the shots? Who decides where you go, what you do, when you do it, why you do it? Is it Christ or is it self? Because if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to deny self, take up your cross, and follow him. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer.